Green Lantern, June 2011.
Got what it takes to be a Green Lantern? Find out and learn how low-fat milk helps build muscles at lanternworthy.com.
Superpower, got milk?
Green Lantern and all related characters and elements are trademarks of and copyright DC Comics, 2011, Warner Brothers Entertainment Inc., all rights reserved, copyright 2011, America's Milk Processors.
Haseo, dear listener, to our podcast, Jeff and Rick present Unpacking the Power of Power Pack,
where we journey through each issue of comics that include a member of the most underrated Marvel series from the 80s while drinking beer,
analyzing awesome and amazing adjacent adolescent adventures, and absorbing alcohol.
I am Jeff.
And I am Rick.
Haley Mills and Haley Mills in the Random Banter. Random banter time, buddy. Talk to me, tell me tall tales and tantalizing tidbits of trivia today.
It took me a second because kind of forgot what we're covering here, but then all of a sudden I remembered, oh yeah, we've got like multiple reads. So you kind of did a Freaky Friday type of thing there, right, didn't you?
It's a parent trap! And that parent that got trapped was Sue.
Yeah. She gets out of it thanks to your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yeah, and plot armor and, I guess, force fields and stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty simple. Well, there's a couple of reads. Pretty simple. Like Haley Mills, they trick a parent, which is Sue. Parent trap.
Parent trap. Well, between last recording and this recording, I went to Korea and then came back. So I've been doing pretty good. I will say that the day that we got back, we made it from Seattle back down to Portland and, you know, trying to force ourselves all the way through the day so we could stay up regular time, just push through that jet lag. We didn't want to do any cooking. So I think my wife did try to go down for a little nap. I said, well, I'm going to run out and get the pizza. So my daughter and I went out to get the pizza, got the pizza. And as I was leaving, I said, "Kamsahamnida" to the lady at the pizza counter, and she looks at me and said, what? And I'm like, I'm sorry. I've been saying thank you in Korean to everybody all week. I haven't broken the habit yet.
Sorry, my worldly nature's lost on you. I'm a real international jet setter, and oh, this jet lag's a killer.
It was just kind of, I was tired, I wasn't thinking, and after a week of just a lot of pleasant, I can't speak Korean. I know a handful of words, and so those ones I made sure I used.
Yeah, you got your go-to phrase. Use it.
I used it. But no, we had an amazing trip. It was wonderful. It was amazing. I took lots of pictures. I shared them on Facebook, and everybody was jealous about how much food we ate, because we ate a ton of food.
I did my part. I clicked like on those posts. And also, yeah, I don't think you guys travel. I think you just ate.
Yeah, that was a bit of a joke. I know Hoover Jeremiah, he follows me on Facebook, and he just kept mocking because, please don't eat the beach. Please don't eat the car.
Don't eat the exhibit that you went to. Don't eat the cherry
tree.
We
walked and walked and walked and walked, and we're walking around, and I mean, you have to go to certain parts of the city to not find restaurants to eat at. We had been walking a lot. We had been coming from seeing the Ensole Tower. We had like 2 or 3 hours that we needed to like eat dinner, kind of rest a bit before we went to see a show we wanted to see in Seoul. And I said, well, don't worry, I will find a restaurant for us to sit down. We walk onto the street where the theater's at that we're going to go see it. And it is a nightly market of food vendors that pop up there. And we all went, oh, no.
Night market. Eat.
So we're eating. And then my wife's like, we sat down for a while. But she's like, we have to stop walking. I am exhausted. I am tired. And like, well, we don't really need to eat dinner anymore. So we can't do that. So we found ourselves a nice coffee cafe, went in there and just sat down and just charged phones, chilled out. Everyone just kind of calmed down a bit, and then we went to see the play. But yeah, we ate a ridiculous amount of food, and it was great. But we saw a lot of great things.
It looked really good. It looked really nice. It looked like you had a really great time. So I'm glad that you had a really good trip. That is awesome.
I will say this. There are things that I really noticed. First of all, driving in Korea is an offensive sport, and you have to you have to be prepared for it. All of the cars have darkened tinted windows, like pitch black darkened tinted windows. Mm. That is so that you can't see the other person, and that if you come to a point where there's merging or something going on, it is an entire game of chicken because you can't see the person's face. And I think this is all on purpose. Do you want your car to get wrecked? You better stop. You better figure it. Or you better like, you know, nope, I'm not letting you guy in. And it's incredible. I drove a little bit in Busan. I would not drive in Seoul. No, you can't pay me enough to do that. Being a 6 foot tall, 270 pound white guy, I got looks. I was noticed. I would walk somewhere and I was the biggest thing around. I was looking over everybody's heads. Everybody was looking up at me. I put on my smile, did a lot of low bows and just as friendly as possible because I am a giant in a land of small people. It was just like,
well, of course you were the biggest thing there. We just talked about all the food you ate.
Yeah, I know. The level of technology is better than the United States. There's just a lot of things we saw that were like, wow, this is just a little more advanced and this is a little bit cooler and little things that we'd run into and navigating some of the different places, you know, really have to be careful when you walk into a restaurant. Is this one of the restaurants you have to take your shoes off because they've got a special heated floor? Don't mess that up. Otherwise, you get nasty looks the entire time. only happens once.
That's the best time to mess up, though, because you're international travel and you're like, I'm out of country. I'll be thousands of miles away tomorrow.
You and I, yes. But my wife, who is Korean and was speaking the language, oh, it was massively embarrassing for her.
We got the pass card where we come in. We go, ignorant white guy, ignorant white guy, oopsie doopsie.
But I was also trying not to be that. I looked at all the customs. I made sure, you know, let's get on the bus. You get on the subway. You get on any transportation. You do not talk. You whisper. Do not be loud. It's very quiet on there. It's very respectful. And you know, make sure you don't do this. And always, you know, when you can use manners. Now, when you're in a restaurant and you need something, you shout across a restaurant. Because if you don't, that's considered rude. It's like,
okay. It is funny just to see and learn the what is in an area you go to. Because it's all the same. It's all different. Yeah. It's interesting.
You hand something to somebody. You two hands or some kind of combination of two hands. Took me a while to really get that figured out. But yeah, it's the little things like that. And my daughter and I were just amazed trying to figure it out and take care of it. And it was fun. We had a great time. It was, my wife struggled a bit because she doesn't use Korean every day. So she was trying her best to be our translator. By the end of the trip, her comprehension had picked up leaps and bounds.
Oh, because she was using it.
Yeah, I got us everywhere. My wife didn't have to worry about that. I figured out everything. I could get us onto any transportation. I knew where it was. My wife's like, how do we are lost in the middle of the city. How do you know exactly where our hotel is? I'm like, I looked at the maps ahead of time. And also, I've got a pretty good sense of direction even here. Even when we're getting lost in tiny alleys, I know exactly where we are. Oh, it was great. We had a great time. Got to meet up with Cindy's family, too. And they were absolutely wonderful as well. I can go on and on and on and on. I have no real way to tell. Oh, I can say this. We were staying in a hotel that looked out over the bridge that the first Black Panther movie, when they go to Korea and they go across this bridge and they're having this big car chase scene on this bridge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the hotel, that was the bridge that we could see from our hotel. Awesome.
Inadvertently at a movie site. Very cool.
Well, kind of. Maybe I kind of planned it a little bit.
Okay. Just a little. You're like, there's a film location right over there, and I want to look at it.
I made sure that we got on the bridge at least one time, you know? So.
Yeah. Yelling Wakanda forever.
For some reason or another, the couple nights we were there, we were watching just different boats out in the harbor shooting fireworks at each other or shooting fireworks at the bridge. We're like, okay, sure. Just, I guess this is thing safe.
They do, I guess. All right.
I don't know. Fun. It's something.
Yeah.
I could go on and on and on and bore everybody about it. We've got a comic book to do. You've got to tell me what you've been up to because got to be something fun.
Oh, dude. It was spring break.
Yeah.
So Aurora had the week off. So we had it stacked with plans that we canceled on the daily because we were all sick for the entire time. It was super wonderful. Aurora had a ongoing temperature of like 102. Hillary was sick. I was sick. Everyone was sick. Nobody had sleep. Aurora was having that fun stage of childhood when you're sick. So she's having fever dreams. So we'd get her to bed and then she'd just wake up in a panic because she was having one of those bizarre dreams, you know, and she's saying stuff. She's like, I'm too big. I'm too big. I can't walk. I'm too big. You know, just, okay, this kid is screwed up. But yeah, we canceled a plan to go to the beach. We canceled two tracker camps. We canceled going down to Silver Falls where friends of ours were going to have a cabin. We were going to spend time with them. We canceled, gosh, something else. And I can't remember what it was. Some other go out and have some fun thing. Just sick the entire time. It was so, so cool. And since Aurora, she was just sleeping with us because she was just waking up with the night terror. So it's just, she'd wake up yelling, daddy, daddy. And I'd be like, all right, let's go downstairs. And we'll sit in the dark in the chair and just cuddle and breathe.
I was wondering why you were hate liking all my posts.
No, I wasn't hate liking them. I just liked them. I can be having a miserable time and I can enjoy other people having a pleasant time. I never do a thing where I'm just like, I hate that person because they're doing something fun while I'm not. No, we were supposed to go do stuff fun, but we were just super sick. I deduced who gave us the cold, though, and it was a bus stop buddy.
I was just saying that, you know, I could hear the tears gently falling down onto your phone as you were pressing that like button.
Oh, no, dude. No crying. It was just, we were too distracted by taking care of a five-year-old who was having fever dreams to be feeling bad about anything else.
All right, let's get on. We have talked way too long about our stuff. People didn't listen to that. They want to listen to us talk about a comic book. Jeff, give us a two-sentence replay of the last episode.
The Tea Party of Doom continues, and all the party guests are fairly useless in adding value to the discussion of how to defeat the evil Reeds, because all of their contributions come from their crazy-pants squirrel minds. So the same grown-ups in the room figure out that the Reeds are going to build a machine, to which Val says, yes, they are, and then proceeds to tell them its name and where they are going to build it, because she heard them talk about it. Meanwhile, Ben has taken some time off, so the out-of-the-loop Sue, Spidey, and Alex Power go to help one faction of the Old Atlanteans fight two factions of the Old Atlanteans, Mole Man with his Subterraneans, and Reed Richards. What the heck is going on here, states the previously mentioned out-of-the-loop Sue. Now that the best part was when everyone found out that the Reeds lobotomize any dooms that they encounter, and that made Diablo happy. Two-sentence replay is over. Why don't you give me a beer and tell us what our Power Pack pick is?
My pleasure, my friend. Why don't you reach in that bag there and see what I brought you today?
It is a can of beer. Ben Brewing Company, established in 1995. Trade War Export Stout. That's great. I love it. It's a black and brown, two-tone brown can with white lettering. It's very simple. It's very, very, very easy, but it definitely looks like a can that a stout would go into. I love it. And the reason that it's called Trade War is because there's a war and it's about trade, because the Reeds have convinced a bunch of different people and races that they need to trade goods and services with the Reeds, and the Reeds are going to fix whatever their problems are. Say you have a kingdom and a city that you live in that you just didn't know you didn't want to have anymore. They'll take care of that for you.
Yeah, and also the name of the issue was The Sounds of War, so, you know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, there's that too.
I'm an easy, easy person here.
The other dimensions are exporting Reeds to ours.
So, Ben Brewing Company, Trade War, 7.5% ABV, 31 IBU, full-bodied, roasty, dry, luscious export stout is brewed over a half dozen specialty malts to create a complex and rich foundation. Roasty dry, but still balanced and crushable, this classic is sure to be a hit year-round.
Oh, that is a beautiful looking beer. That is opaque in its blackness. It's not black. It is just a very, very dark brown.
Very dark
and
brown.
It's got a very small head on it, pours really small bubbles. And that is a brown foam on that. That is beautiful. The smell is a nice kind of sweet kind of, is that a malty? Yeah, kind of a nice sweet malty.
Yeah.
That smells really nice. Now for the taster.
That is a thick,
creamy.
But it's got, I can taste that 7.5 ABV.
Oh, it's there. It is on the cusp of an Imperial Stout, where you really taste it. The aftertaste is very Imperial Stout flavor to me.
Yeah. I had to take a look again because I was like, I don't think we said the words Imperial Stout, but wow, it's close.
No, but it is close. It is, in fact, close. Oh, we haven't had a stout in a while. This is nice.
Wow. Mm-hmm. It is creamy, but it has got a sharpness to it that I'm having a hard time kind of getting past at the moment.
The original taste was very smooth, very cream, very small bubble. Just silk on your tongue. And then it blended into that alcohol stout kind of thing. And now it's like smooth, creamy, Imperial Stout barrel flavor.
Yeah.
And that's where it's at. But still, stouts. Nice.
This is going to be a little harder than I thought. It's just a little bitter. I mean, it is 31 IBU, and that is pretty bitter for a beer.
It is got the bitter. It's got little tart hoppy. It might be the alcohol that's making it that kind of tart, kind of bitter, but it does have kind of like a burnt wheat,
yeah,
like a burnt toast kind of flavor to it, I think.
I am a little off my game. I was drinking a little bit more of the Korean style drinks over there, and maybe a few of the pale ale, so I haven't had anything this like this for a while. So, anyways, though.
The first blush of this was, ooh, and then on further tasting, it's kind of, your palate has not gotten hidden or confused. I think it is exactly what it is on this, but we'll see what it's like at the end of the hour.
We will check this out. Let's go ahead and get into the opening credits and move this forward, shall we?
FF, issue number 5, August 2011, The Sounds of War. Credits: writer, Jonathan Hickman. Penciler, Barry Kitson. Inker, Barry Kitson. Colorist, Paul Mounts. Letterer, Clayton Cowles. Editor, Tom Brevoort.
Featuring the Future Foundation, Mr. Fantastic, Invisible Woman, The Thing, Spider-Man, and Doctor Doom. We also still have all of our Future Foundation Smarty Pants characters. Franklin, Val, Dragon Man, Wu, Vil, Mick, Kor, Turg, Tong, Leech, Bentley, Alex Powers, and Nathaniel Richards.
Reed has spent the last few issues hanging with his new bro crew, the Doom Patrol. No, not that one. The more evil than weird one. And this best bud squad has completely alienated his family to the point that Sue took off with the temp worker and the oldest adopted child to go fishing and only left him a voicemail message saying, "See you when I see you."
Okay, I'm kind of following this except for that last part with the voice message.
Oh, well, Sue told Dragon Man where she was going and he is an android. Like my phone.
Okay, got it. Well, now that Reed is up to speed, he is investigating the seashell that Sue got from the seashore, warning Sue. And it's also not transmitting, but he thinks that he can do some science to find out what is happening in Old Atlantis.
Oh, we should mention that the rest of the Smarty Pants squad is standing around, partially interested in the science and partially as guard detail, keeping an eye on the bad guys.
Leech, Bentley, Franklin, and Artie have drawn and are pointing their suction cup pistols at Diablo, Dr. Doom, the Wizard, and the Mad Thinker.
The bad guys do not look intimidated, but they have to be asking themselves, are these real toys? Have they been altered by Reed? Or did Franklin God magic them?
Vegas odds are not getting near that bet.
Reed finally finishes sciencing the seashell so that they can see what Sue is seeing in the sea.
And it is a big old Kirby Energy crackling crater where old Atlantis used to be.
Well, let's back up about 15 minutes and see what actually occurred.
A mob of subterranean mutates led by the Mole Man has joined forces with two of the three races of the old Atlanteans and are assaulting the Shielded City. Oh, and Reed Richards is with them.
But it is not the Reed Richards. It's just a Reed Richards.
Well, yeah. You and I know that, but Sue does not.
Wait, what are you saying? That he never told her?
Nope.
And Val never told her?
Nope.
But Val, Reed, and Nathaniel told all of their biggest villains first?
Yep.
Hang on a second. I need to change my who my most shunned is for the issue.
Yep. Well, as the evil Cyclops Reed, which I call him that because he wears a cool visor that gives him science sight, as he directs the Mole Man where to attack, Sue heads over to chat with her not-so-husband.
Pathoom!
And as she questions Reed on his actions and looks into his eyes as he momentarily removes his goggles, she realizes that this ain't her premium blend Reed, but an off-brand Safeway Select version.
Zach.
But that is a full-functioning blaster that completely ruins Sue's day, her week, her month, and even her year. And it totally messes up her hair and possibly her skin and spine, too.
As she falls to her death in a field of Kirby Crackle, Spidey swings off to save the day, leaving Alex Power to deal with 1, 2, 3 different armies made up of subterranean monsters and old Atlanteans. All by himself.
It's graduation day, Alex. Time to put on your big boy onesie and take down the opposition. Do something!
Rumble!
Step 1. Increase gravity to make a giant trench between the opposing army and you.
Step 2. Change your mind and reduce gravity in the trench to make a gigantic ice wall to stop the giant cannons from pulverizing you and the objective, which a trench won't impede.
Step 3. Have your arm broken by a giant claw of an old Atlantean who is part of the randomly appearing army on your right-hand side.
Crack.
To be fair, Spider-Man did yell, "Look out!" just before the attack.
Thus becoming a spider sense for Alex and about as effective.
And he does come webbing in to save our boy genius before the cruel crustacean creature can crush the cranium of the combat compromised kid.
Pathwip.
So, as Spidey lays out that group of antagonists, let's look at our scorecard. Heroes, 2 down, 1 up, and 1 giant ice wall.
And villains, a handful of soldiers down and a multi-unit army remaining behind a giant ice wall.
Crash.
Check that. Army remaining, but climbing over the remains of the ice wall and blasting through the protective shielding of the old Atlantean city.
Well, that does it then. Now it is time for the sudden, yet inevitable, betrayal. Cyclops Reed informs Mole Man to have his moloids turn on their machines. Apparently, this will amplify the vents below and destroy the ancient city.
Good!
Wait, what? Why would you say that, Rick?
Huh. Oh, I would never say that. That is what Evil Reed is saying. I would never betray my partner.
Okay, then.
Good.
I heard that.
Anyway, with Cyclops Reed making the comment that this was a necessity, he exits the scene as soon as the city gives a final
ba-ba-boom.
Luckily, Sue has recovered enough to force field pull their ship from the vaporized city. Then she lays out her own plans.
Step 1. Call Namor to restore order amongst these homeless old Atlanteans.
Step 2. Head home to get some answers.
Someone's in trouble.
And this time, it ain't us. Excellent!
Interlude. Alicia Masters is having some tea with her favorite Rocky semi-boyfriend. It looks like Ben has been absent since, oh, that night.
Well, there was the whole death of his friend that occurred shortly after that night. And then all that mourning and the fact that Ben has the emotional maturity of
a rock?
Your words, buddy, not mine. But, yeah. Anyway, Ben feels guilty.
Alicia gets it. She understands. She also has had enough of his behavior and attitude. She lays down the law. These are the only two facts Ben needs to understand. Johnny is gone, and she loves Ben.
Wow. That is pretty powerful stuff. She also tells him that things will get better, and there is nothing to be afraid of. She's not going anywhere.
That is a true friend. Someone who can tell you the truth and who can give them hope.
I agree, Rick. Except there is a problem. It will not get better, and there is everything to be afraid of.
Oh, right. The A story.
Back at the Baxter Building, Alex is learning that with great power and great responsibility also comes an ulna fractured in 3 places.
But, good news, everyone. Here at Reed's Future Tech Emporium, he has a nifty cast that decreases the healing time of broken bones. And while Reed is proud of Alex...
Oh, whoopee doo-da-day.
He should look at this as a learning opportunity to always watch your surroundings. Also, Spidey said he did well. Also, you need to get some rest, kid. So why don't you get out of this series for about, 5 issues.
Wait. Out of the issue? What?
Well, Alex is going to be out of this book for the next 5 issues, so I'm chalking it up to as recovery time. But that is a conversation for later. Right now, we should focus on the other patient in the room. One very angry, very impatient wife.
Reed is being very clinical in checking out Sue's injuries, but Sue is not being subtle with her anger and rage over Mr. Stretchy Pants.
It seems that as Peter was explaining the details of the fight, Sue was watching Reed's absence of a poker face. This orphan black reveal was not a surprise to Reed. He knows more than he has told his family, and he has trusted his enemies more than his friends and loved ones.
Reed sits down and lets his brave and arrogant posture drop, and he admits that he has made a terrible mistake.
Just like a Bluth.
Meanwhile, in the Forever City,
home of the Fighting Reeds.
Okay, cards on the table. They're not fighting. In fact, they're constantly adapting and overcoming and sciencing all over the place. They're also wearing special devices that are keeping the radiation from the city from affecting them.
There is some tension between the advanced Moloids, who now call this home, and Mole Man, but it seems that all parties are going to come to an understanding. The Reeds need some of what this machine provides. The city dwellers need it fixed so they can procreate and establish a race. Mole Man wants his people to stop coming or being abducted by these advanced creatures, and they all want to have subscriptions to premium TV.
Oh, I think he also wants respect.
Well, him and me both.
If this fix works, then everyone gets what they want. So, mission accomplished. Only, there appears to be a fly in this ointment. A futuristic floating city appears above the Forever City. It seems that they have unexpected visitors. From space!
Oh, goody. The Inhumans, led by Black Bolt, have returned.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yay! We've got a new cover! Woo!
I like new covers.
All right.
I like seeing how they relate to the issue at hand.
All right.
I like seeing the pretty artwork.
All right.
I like looking at it and going, I think that's Black Bolt.
Well, let's look at this art by Mark Begley, Andy Lanning, and Paul Mounts. Different little team on this one. And like you said, we've got this cover. It's got kind of an orange background, and there's somebody who's... You can't really make out who it is because they're kind of being blasted by this sun flare above their head, but they're standing over the classic defeated hero's pose. You got like the thing there, and draped over the top of them is Spider-Man, and Reed's down there, and his arms are kind of like all over the place, like over Spider-Man stuff, and like you see Sue passed out as well. And like Jeff said, it looks like Black Bolt that's in there. So this is kind of preluding to the fact that Black Bolt is showing up at the end of this and that he is going to do something. And it's teasing more of what's going on next issue, but it kind of teases the end of this issue. Okay.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the issue at hand, other than there is a one panel Black Bolt reveal at the very end. It is, and this is a kind of reveal of that. Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing to do with anything.
Nope, 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 nope. Now, we do have an alternate one that's here, and that is by Scotty Young. And he put out an alternate cover, which it has nothing to do with this issue, too, but I like this cover.
It's a neat-looking cover.
It's not Scotty Young's cutesy cover. It's kind of his kid drawing cover, or a kid drawing kind of artwork. It's of three kids, and you see, like, nerdy kid. He's holding a bag that's empty, and you see, like, the stuff that was in his bag has been strewn all over this hill. You see another kid, an African-American kid, who is got a Captain America shirt, some oversized Captain America gloves, and he's holding on a trash can lid that he's painted to look like Captain America's shield. And then there's a bully in a leather jacket that's facing him. It's like this kid has come in here and like, don't worry, kid. I got it. I'm going to take this bully down. I like this cover. It has nothing to do with this issue at all, but I like this cover.
It is pretty neat. I could even see that as being a young patriot.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just a kid who is defending somebody who's helpless. And hey, power to that child. That is awesome.
It's another kid who's using the tropes of being a superhero to stand up to bully and causing the bully to say, okay, wait a minute. I don't know if I want to do this. I mean, it looks like the bully can take him.
Oh, that's a huge bully.
But this kid has no fear on his face, and he is there.
Yep.
He is there to protect. It doesn't even have to be a friend. He's there to protect this other kid.
Yep. He's there to protect a kid whose backpack's been ransacked and all of his stuff has been dumped on the ground. It's a good cover. Again, nothing to do with the story.
No.
But
no,
a good
no.
cover. It's a fun cover.
Two good covers, though. I like them. Yeah. Inside the book, I mean, we've got, first of all, we'll get this out of the way right now. We are going to be stepping away from the FF book for about 5 issues. We're going to come back in here, I think, I want to say issue 11. I don't have it up in front of me right now. We're going to be covering some other books in the meantime. Alex Power or no other member of Power Pack is in the next few issues, so we're going to be stepping back and having to kind of step back into the story, and we're leaving on an interesting cliffhanger here. We'll cover this book, and then we'll pick back up where we're at later on. We only cover Power Pack. We don't care about anybody yep. else, but we like the
yep.
story.
The rest of the stories don't matter to us. Although I will admit that I think I'm going to read those 6 issues or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we need to. I think we need to keep up with the story just on our own, just for so we can kind of jump back into it. But it is kind of fun to follow along with where we're at. Kind of funny, too. I just flipped on a random page inside my copy of this book, and I found a advertisement for the next book that we're going to be covering, Spider Island, Amazing Spider-Man 666. That's where we're going to go next. Right there. Inside this issue here, Reed tells Alex to relax. I mean, he broke his arm.
He's got to recover from that broken arm.
Yeah.
Not that Julie's had a broken arm that seemed like it had healed for a month overnight.
Don't worry. The next book that we're going to cover, the Amazing Spider-Man one, it's all good. We're going to be covering that one, and Alex is going to be just fine.
I'm glad. Yeah. I was worried about that young man. So worried.
Well, he will never leave our hearts, man. Never, never, never. What'd you think about Alex standing up and getting his arm broken?
I both liked and disliked it because there's a great shot where it shows him standing in front of the masked army in front of him. And it's like, yeah, that's overwhelming. But Alex is a powerhouse, man. Yeah. Alex has got it going on. He had it under control. There was nobody around him. He made a trench. Boom. Hey, army, you want to come this way? Fall to your deaths.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you have cannons. Big wall of ice. That'll stop the cannons, except you can shoot through walls of ice. So
yeah, but it still is a good thought. And he's doing the best he can with what he's got. It's going to prevent what's happening. So it's all good. Yeah. It's all good.
I would have done a trench and then gravity flipped over the subterraneans with the cannons on their back. Me, that's just me. But also, the thing that I didn't like about it, though, was that random crabmen then came up and bashed him that did not exist anywhere near him in the previous shot.
I mean, yes, Alex was focused that way. Mole Man could have made another entrance.
We'll say the cannons were shot through the ice wall and some of the army men came through. There was nobody around him. But otherwise, Alex was a powerhouse. He did great. He did better than Sue. Sue went to her husband, got shot in the face, and then saved... And I guess here's the best thing she did. She saved her car from the exploding city.
Yeah.
She saved nothing else, but she's like, whew, I got my car. So,
yeah.
Sorry about your entire civilization, but I can drive home now.
Sue had one job. She was called to help out the old Atlanteans, and she failed.
She didn't do too good at all.
As much as I want to blame her for this, it kind of all falls back on Reed. Reed didn't tell his family anything. I mean,
here's the I can still forgive Reed on that. He had just found out. However, yes, he should have then immediately said, okay, everybody in the family needs to know.
As soon as you find out, you're like, wait a minute, there's a bunch of Reeds running around. We have a safety issue. They can get in here. They can do a lot of damage. I need to let my family know because we're in here discussing this. We're figuring this out. I have to at least tell them that if you see me, it ain't me. I got to deal with this. Priorities, man.
Oh, yeah. But there is a chain that you got to go up to still. Before you get to Reed being his fault. Val and Nathaniel knew.
Yeah.
They didn't say anything. They held on to that information for a long time. They could have held on to it at the exact same time and had other people in. They could have audited the class that were his family while Val told them.
Reed should know better. He has had a long time with his family, and he says he loves his family. He should have let this be known. Val is an immature child. She's very intelligent. But she's an immature child. Was she wrong in not telling people? Yes, but she is a child. So, you know.
Nathaniel Richards is a neglectful adult parent. He should know better.
He is also pretty evil. So I'm kind of like, well, I expect this from Nathaniel. Reed, I held on a higher plane. Reed is a hero. Nathaniel is not a hero. Reed cares about his family. Nathaniel does not care about his family unless he can use them. So it always goes back to Reed, what have you done? What have you done?
Again, it is very much a Reed, what have you done? And also Reed, you needed to tell people, stop being Shakespearean, talk to people.
Yeah.
But again, I put the most fault at Nathaniel and Val's feet. But Reed does bear responsibility because as soon as he learned, he needed to say it.
Yeah.
I could see his conversation with Sue later when he's like, oh, Sue, I made a terrible mistake.
I done but a he's like, bad like, but, thing.
And here's the conversation he'd have with her, which would be like 3 years ago, I made a gate and I saw a bunch of other Reeds. I don't know if she knows about that or not. But then he should have then been saying like, look, you have a concussion. You're going to be okay. I know why you have a concussion and I needed to tell you that, but I literally just found out when you were getting a concussion. So sorry.
Yeah. Well, agree to disagree. But let's talk about other members of the family that also need to figure out where their heads are, make sure that they aren't in places where the sun don't shine and remove them. Ben Grimm.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah. Ben, you had a great moment with your girlfriend. A girlfriend that you've loved for, well, 50 years of comic. 50 years of real time.
So like 2 months comic book time.
You've loved her for a long time. You had a magical night with her.
Mm-hmm.
You need to really make good choices.
Yeah. You need to follow up on that.
You are part of a high-tech team. Forgetting a phone number or not having a phone nearby is not an excuse. Mm-hmm. You can't use the excuse of you're busy washing your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, best friend died and stuff, but you know what? Alicia was there. You know?
He sent her a text. He sent, I was busy grouting my gravel.
Okay.
Alliteration.
Alliteration. Bad choices were made all around.
Oh, yes.
We'll probably get on a little bit more of this after we read the next few issues ourselves, but we have got the incoming of, as it says on the last page, next issue, The Return. That's Black Bolt. We've got the Black Bolt and the Inhumans coming back. What is your feeling on the Inhumans?
I know they exist. I have fond memories of reading a series where Medusa divorced Black Bolt and then just kind of hung out on Earth and put up her hair and like went on dates and stuff. And I thought that was pretty fun. It made her an interesting character to me when that was going on. Because otherwise, I don't think too much about them. Black Bolt's a broody guy who really needs to learn how to text or get a typewriter. Or do sign language instead of having people have to infer what he's saying by glancing at his mood or something. All the Inhumans, I keep on forgetting what they can do. Oh, Gorgon can stomp his foot and create earthquakes, and Karnak can kick something and it breaks. And then I kind of start getting real fuzzy. They exist. I know Black Bolt is technically a huge gun, but he's usually a dude kind of sitting on a chair. Gesturing with minute gestures.
I think the Inhumans have had moments where they've been tried to push to get them over as a group. I know back around this time, there was a real thought to kind of push them to make them the new thing in Marvel Universe, mm-hmm. besides to take over the place of the mutants. They wanted to try to reduce the X lines, and they wanted to try to bring those up, and everyone's getting really up in arms like, no, don't do that. Yada, 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 yada.
And Marvel's like, no, because anything we create for X-Men goes to Fox, and we don't want that. We want it in-house. So, hey, Inhumans. Yeah. Everyone's an Inhuman now.
The only good thing that came out of that entire thing is Miss Marvel. That was it.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, that Terrigan missed, and...
It was a thing.
Yeah, that's some stuff that is always amazing. In fact, I did research on Terrigan Mist last night, and it cracks me up how just... Oh, here's the rules on Terrigan Mist, unless we don't want to do those rules. And then we do whatever we want to do. It's just, it's a gizmo thingamabob, whatchamacallit.
It is kind of funny, too, because later on tonight, we're going to be recording a future Patreon episode that deals with a kind of what-if setting with... What if the Terrigan Mist was put out on the world? That came out back in 2000s, the early 2000s, which is a plot point that they reused later on to some mixed success with the Inhumans. And
hey, again, came up with Captain Marvel. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to talk about this book?
I liked the part where you said the goggles gave Reed science sight, which is just a chef's kiss on that. I thought that was a great descriptor because, yeah, literally it was just like, let me put my goggles on and then I can tell you to do a thing that will move plot forward.
Hey, I need some plot convenient goggles to help me get through my day sometimes.
Oh, it would help.
No, it would super help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, what I think we should do is I think we should put on our goggles to look at some Gallery of Greatness as we start our final thoughts. Let's put on our goggles. Let's use our science goggles to look through this book and find out some good joke artwork and some good backup artwork and see what we can do, man. All right?
Okay.
All right. So a backup joke one I've got is... This is during the fight with Sue and the Atlanteans and everything. And this is... Right after Alex gets his arm broke. And this is Spider-Man shooting webs at the faces of the two Atlanteans.
Uh-huh.
And I said, see? Fish caught in a net. Okay. So not my best joke, but still it's a joke and yes. I like it. All right. It's fish caught in a net. See, it's you have fish and you got net, and the fish are caught in the... What do you got for a backup joke one, man?
Oh, what you just said, because when you have to repetitively explain the joke, that makes it the best.
That's what I've heard. Comedy by repetition.
That's actually on page 9 of Marvel Unlimited, because I am on the same page, but I'm the panel before, and I call it, Now We'll Break the Dome. Because it's one of the crab monsters has just broken Alex's arm and is about to cave in Alex's dome, just the way that the cannons are going to knock the dome down on the city. And it made me laugh because it's just like, I like the double use of that. Now we'll break the dome. Like, I'm going to crack that head open, scoop out the insides like an egg.
I find comedy in repetition, and you find comedy in the maiming of a child.
Oh, violence against children is hilarious.
Okay.
That's why I have one of my own.
That is why we have gotten banned on 5 continents now. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
This is true, but however, we are ranked number 1 in Nepal for comedy fiction podcasts and have been for a while. So congratulations, us.
Yay, us. Yay, us. Okay. The first page that we've got here has got my top joke one. And Jeff, I'm going to hold up a picture and I want you mm-hmm. to name the band. Yeah, so name the band and then I'll explain the picture.
What would I call that? That's going to call that Immortal Metal.
Okay, all right. So what I got here is we've got the three kids are got their toy guns out and they're pointing them at the villains. And you've got Diablo, Dr. Doom, the Wizard, and the Mad Thinker looking down, not pleased or impressed. And it is the most metal rock band. It's a great rock band pose. It's just these four guys looking not impressed. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it. Loved
it. It's pretty great. I actually have a better name for it because I just realized that it's my top art pick one and I called it The Boys.
The Boys. The Boys. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great piece of art and it's also really funny.
I found it more funny than best art. I have some other ones for good art. Let me go ahead and tell you my backup good art since you got me your best one there. And this is at the beginning of this fight that Alex has got with the villains. Spidey leaves him to go save Sue, and it's Alex, okay, fine, do something. And it's Alex facing off against all of the other
monsters.
And I call mm-hmm. it Lone Wolf, because it's Alex versus everybody. And it's pretty cool.
It's a good one. It was on my list. It was. I still have my top joke 1-2.
Yeah.
Which is on page 6 of Marvel Unlimited, and I call it Not the Welcome She Expected, because this is when Reed blasted her with a science gun in the face, and she went, aye, and then was out of the fight.
So far, I'm seeing something where, like, damage and hurting people, this is your jam. This is what you find to be funny.
Maybe we all have traumas that we need to work through on our own ways, Rick.
Okay. All right. All right.
But I'll tell you my backup best art now, which is on page 3, and it was above The Boys, Rick's metal album cover, and I call it Easy Boys, We Don't Want a Ruckus, because that is what Franklin tells the metal outfit guys. They're all pointing their dart guns at the four big bads, telling them, easy fella, we don't want no trouble in these here parts. Cracks me up. We don't want a ruckus.
Yeah, yeah. The kids with the guns out. It was funny last issue. It's funny this issue. I like it. So my top art one is the final image where we've got Black Bolt sitting in mm-hmm. his throne, and he's looking all dour and stuff. And behind him, we got Medusa, and her hair is covering up most of the panel. Behind and in front of him, and he's got a look on his face as he's looking down at the reeds and the Forever City, and you know what he's thinking. You know exactly what he's thinking with that look on his face. He's thinking, bring me pie.
Yeah, he's thinking, I wonder if they have Uber Eats. I could go for some food.
I think it's pretty impressive. People can make Black Bolt and Medusa look pretty darn cool. Pretty darn cool. Oh, yeah. Cool.
No, it's a great photo. Or a great drawing. It really is. It was also on my list. I just didn't pick it.
And if you don't like that, let me tell you exactly what Black Bolt would call you.
Ouch.
You get it? Because that Black Bolt cutting. Can't talk, because if he talks, then he can...
No, explain it more.
Rubber and glue moment. What was the best or most childish insult in this book? Jeff, what do you got, man?
My backup one is on page 11, and this is when Reed and Mole Man betrayed the old Atlanteans, and one of the crab critters goes, betrayal! And Reed replies with, necessity. We can leave now. Betrayal. Necessity. Rubber glue.
Yep.
Done.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was pretty great. He doesn't care. He's like, yeah, yeah, it's, I had to betray you because of reasons.
Because that's goodbye. That's what it is.
Hope you got all your stuff with you because you ain't going back to get it.
My backup one was right before one of your funny art ones. It was Cyclops Reed after Sue is kind of like, wait, you aren't my Reed? And he looks at her and says, I'm much more partial to brunettes. And then he shoots her.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's a good line. It's a good line.
It was on my list. I liked it. Yeah. I liked that quite a little bit. Yeah. Because you can infer on that, you know, it's here you take, you know, the line, gentlemen prefer blondes.
Yeah.
He does not prefer blondes. Ergo, he's not a gentleman.
He's much more partial to brunettes. Yep, yep, yep. What is your top one that you've got?
My top one is on page 18, and this is when the elder advanced Moldoid is addressing Mole Man, who's, Mole Man's all, Reed's like, oh yeah, hey, we can fix your problem when we just do this, and Mole Man's all, but not without a price! And the elder's response is, there is a dog barking. Silence it.
Yep, yep, yep.
And Reed's response to that is, that dog has a point.
I had it all on the Moloid on that one. There is a dog barking. Silence it. Oh, snap.
It's good. Yeah. It's so good.
So good. So good. Okay. Let's talk Parent of the Year Award. Let's dust off that trophy, that old bowling trophy for Parent of the Year Award. Reed Richard Award for Good Parenting. Bam, 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 bam. I am going to go ahead and I'm going to... Mole Man. This is the negative way of thinking about Reed Richards for Good Parenting. And I think you brought it up last time we talked, too, is Mole Man is a father figure. He's a father to the Moloids. Now, I got a problem with this guy. His treatment of Moloids, his treatment of his children, and his refusal for them to be in the Forever City?
Yeah.
Wow.
No growth, no advancement,
Here's
no nothing.
Here's a chance for your children to grow, to be something. And you're like, no, no, no. You need to stay like children. So, yeah.
One of the Reeds even at one point told him, it was like, tell your slaves to turn on the machines.
Yeah.
It wasn't even your people, your children, your anything. It was, are your slaves prepared to explode a city? Yeah, yeah. We can turn an engine on and it'll destroy everything.
Yeah.
All right, do it.
If we are saying that he is a father figure to these, the Moloids, then he is a bad bad father. What do you have for your Parent of the Year Award, Jeffrey?
I'm actually going to go for the good version of the Parent Award, and I'm actually going to give it after the namesake for it. I'm going to give it to Reed. Now, we do have problems with Reed. We never hide that at all on our show. However, when the Future Foundation kids came and said, hey, the you know, your family left, and the thing that was screaming isn't screaming anymore. And Reed's like, okay, we're stopping the villain party, and we're going to figure out, we're going to communicate, we're going to find out what's going on. Okay, cool. So he was like, calling my family is important now. We're getting in touch and seeing if they're okay. That's good. The stuff with Alex, where he's like, hey, he's very nurturing and caring. He was supportive. And he's like, hey, I heard you did really good. Impressed. That's really great. But also, it's a learning experience. Yep. You can learn from this. You got your arm broken. How can you learn from this? Oh, that's really parenting. He also, and I was very impressed by this. He didn't do it in here, but he's about to own up to his mistakes to his wife.
Yeah. Yep.
He's not putting on that, no, I'm right, and you don't need to know anything. It was just like, he sits down. He's like, he lets the facade drop. And he's like, I made a terrible mistake.
Yeah. Nope. I can go with that. I can definitely go with that. He showed some good parenting chops in that. But if I may, tell you why I think that he should be shunned. Because he is my most shunned in this issue. Reed is the worst, hands down, in this issue. For everything I said before. You make good points with the parenting, and I'm not going to begrudge him on that at all. But... Man, it ain't enough. It ain't enough. It ain't enough. Do you have anything different for your worst?
Yeah, actually, I'm going with Alex.
Okay.
Yeah, although Alex did amazing stuff. He did two big flashy things. He made a big trench. That's cool, but then he was indecisive. And he made a big wall, and then the wall didn't work either. And then he got snuck up on by two guys that came out of nowhere. It was just, I really wanted more out of Alex. You know, Alex also hadn't really done anything in this fight. He'd kind of like stood there and kind of watched, and him doing something, Spider-Man was like, I gotta go say Sue, you need to do something. And he's like, what? Just do something. Okay,
and
do
he
something.
He did something, and he did something.
He did do something.
But you're right.
It just was short-lived, and it didn't make any difference.
No, no, I am with you. I can see that. I can see that.
And also, he could have been able to tell Reed, he's like, hey, Reed's like, well, your arm was broken, and let's fix it. And he could have been like, you mean if I think real hard at it? All better, I can be in the next five issues.
All right, let's talk about the best. Who is the most most popular in this issue, I got Spidey. He was the guy who saved the Sierra team.
Yes. Spidey pulls a lot of weight. I mean, he's done this in some of the other Fantastic Fours, where he was pulling light, medium, and heavy duty while other people, like at the pirate ship thing, when everybody else is goofballing around playing with their new power set, they're like, look, I'm a big rocky brain man. Ooh, I got wibbly arms. I can't see my pants. I'm invisible. Spidey's out bouncing around. In fact, in the previous issue of this, when it was showing Spidey doing stuff, on the panels that he was in, there's one of everybody else. There's four of him in each panel because he's going around doing so much stuff. That man carries teams.
So I take it that you are also saying Spidey is the best in this issue.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Who are you saying is the best?
Alicia Masters.
Acceptable. Completely acceptable. Mm-hmm. She put Ben in his place and said,
yep,
here's what it is. Here is how we are going to, here's how we're going to relate to each other. And you are going to grow up and not be a teenage boy.
And she also did it with kindness and understanding and civility. Fantastic.
She stood up to a scary dude.
Yeah.
It probably does help that she can't see what he looks like. That probably does help. But no, she stood up to power. And she spoke to power in a good way. So, no, I'm on board with it. I'm on board with that. Okay. Let's talk about top grades. We need to evaluate this issue against each other issue with a member of Power Pack in them. We still have Month of Mourning as our top of our list. We still have, in spot number 11, Fantastic Four 579 with the Future Foundation. That's where the founding of the Future Foundation occurred. We still have, in spot number 22, Runaways number 1. And, of course, bottom of the list, What Lies Beneath. Jeff, how are you feeling about this one?
It was decent. Where do we have FF number 4
in spot number 16? And
yeah,
that was where we get to really the question of how do we defeat a plethora of reads. This one, there's not much that happens in this one. This one is a brief moment where you've made moves on the board of chess.
Mm-hmm. A city got destroyed. Everybody learned that there were extra reeds. They haven't figured out that their villain brigade is basically useless yet.
Yeah.
My opinion, because they have brought nothing to the table.
I'm looking kind of lower. It's good. It's fine. It's not moving things forward. Our lowest ranked FF is on spot 31, Doom Nation. And that's where they fix Doom's brain.
Hmm.
You know, I kind of think that it might be down at that level because it's fine. It's just
like a big thing happened and who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Doom getting his brain back because he seemed so outside of his normal canon. They brought him back to his full himselfness, which seemed like what he was previously because he hasn't contributed much of anything since then. And this one, yeah, city got destroyed and reeds were evil and stuff. Yeah, I could see that. Do we like this better or worse than Doom Nation?
I'm thinking it might go below because I'm always a sucker. Wow. I'm always a sucker for lots of science. It was a big thing with Doom getting his brain back. That's kind of cool. So,
yeah, blew up a lab.
Yeah.
This one blew up a city.
Yeah.
You just don't care as much.
Not really. I wasn't invested in the city.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to tell you this. It's definitely better than War of Kings, Darkhawk number 2.
Well, you just hate Darkhawk, so.
Yes, you're right. He bores me and annoys me.
Okay.
I'm willing to put it below Doom Nation, but I want it above War of Kings, so it can be the new spot 32.
We will say this is a new number 32. All right?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Ooh, that's really low on the list. I scrolled down more, and I'm like, ooh, we only go to 34. Wow, okay.
A lot of the other things that we've covered are kind of good books. They move things along. There's a lot more things to remember on it. I can tell you right now, I'm going to really have trouble remembering exactly what's in this book. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it's kind of forgettable.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. It's some stuff happens. Yeah. That, sadly, is a lot of comics.
Yeah.
I've read a lot of comics, and there is so much I could not tell you about what I've read.
But there are some that really do stick out.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
There's a lot of Chris Claremont stuff that might be in between big action pieces, but I can tell you a lot about what happens in each one of those issues. This is good. It's solid. It's just, it's forgettable. It's leading on to something else. It's mixed in with a higher story.
I love Jonathan Hickman's writing style, but a lot of the stuff he does is, it's getting you somewhere. Hour four of an 8-hour drive,
yeah,
kind of a thing where you're like, oh yeah, I'm seeing something new and it's farther away from home and it's different, but it's still just the road that I'm on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this beer. Bend Brewing Company Trade Ward Export Stout.
Still smells nice. Still is tasting kind of nice. The taste buds have gotten hammered down a little bit.
Yeah.
From the ABV.
I'm still struggling with it as the wannabe Imperial Stout. There is some nice tastes that are in there. There's some chocolate taste and some malt taste that are really coming in there. But right on the center of the tongue, the bitterness is pretty heavy.
I was drinking through. I even commented partway through. It was like my turn to read, and I'm like, kind of having a little mouth issue from a beer drink. This is half of a good beer. There's half a beer here that I'm not a big fan of, but there's half a beer here that I enjoy. For me, it's a 3.5. I would drink more. It's not the stout I would hunt down all the time, but it is a stout I would drink.
It's an enjoyable stout, but I've got issues with it. And the issues are really dragging me down and making me a little depressed about it. And I'm going to give it a 3. I like what it offers, but I don't like how it delivers it.
I get that. Totally get that. Well, we didn't quite agree on the beer ranking, but I think something that we can agree on is kids' perspective. And that is where Rick talks to his 12-year-old daughter, Carrie, about the issue that we just covered. So Rick and Carrie, take it away.
Hello, Carrie.
Hello, Daddy.
All right, we are back with another Fantastic Four. I'm sorry, another FF, because they aren't Fantastic Four right now.
Future Foundation, right?
You betcha. So we left off with Sue's team, Alex and Spider-Man and Sue, going off to help the old Atlanteans, right?
Yeah, and we start off at the Baxter Building.
And what's going on in the Baxter Building?
Like, the kid Atlanteans are informing Reed on the situation while the other kids very, very successfully are keeping the villains still.
Hey, if you've got villains in your building, how are you going to keep them at bay? With suction cup darts? Besides, let's assume that Reed Richards built those things and that they are not just suction cup darts. Plus, Bentley had hold of them too, right?
Yeah.
What's the worst that can happen?
Next thing you know, like, they'll be exploding around the place. Maybe, like, Bentley just put, like, secret explosions in them, and it's like, chaos. And everybody's, like, panicking, and Reed's like, how did this happen?
Bentley is nothing if he's not an agent of chaos, isn't he?
Yep.
So Reed finds out that Sue has gone off to do this mission. How does that mission go?
Pretty bad.
Yeah. What are some of the things that led to everything failing for the good guys?
Sue saw one of the other Reeds from another dimension, and she got really confused, and she's like, okay, I'm going to go over and talk to this guy who's my husband somehow. And so she goes over and talks to him. He, like, shoots, like, a gun at her or something.
Yep.
And then, meanwhile, Spidey sees this. He goes over to help her, leaving Alex all on his own. So he tries to defend the other bad guys, and he's doing a really good job, and then one of them breaks his arm, and they all just head back.
They failed.
Yeah.
Alex broke an arm. Not great showing on the team, but whose fault is all of this really? Who do you think is really to blame?
Reed?
That's who I think. Jeff thinks it's more on Val and Nathaniel, but Nathaniel I consider to be kind of evil anyways. Val's a 4-year-old and she's made bad choices. Reed should know better.
She's a 4-year-old. Like, she may be a smart 4-year-old, but she's a 4-year-old. What do you expect?
Yeah, exactly.
If I was a 4-year-old and I had that kind of power, who knows what I could have done.
So, things are looking pretty bad, and then at the end of the book, do you know who appears at the end of the book?
That one person, the other person. You know the people?
Nice.
Yeah, those
you've
people.
You've got no clue who those people are, do you?
That one person is, like, the gal with, like, the wavy, long, really, really long hair, and the other guy is a guy with a weird thing on his forehead, and he has, like, a gem, and he's like sitting on a throne and it's like looks kind of cool, but I don't know who they are. No.
Okay. These are the king and queen of the Inhumans. They're a group called the Inhumans, and they all have powers. They got all their powers from this thing called the Terrigen Mist. Anyways, long story short, these two, the king is Black Bolt, the queen is Medusa.
Are they married?
Yeah, they are married, yes. Medusa, she can control her hair. So that long flowing hair that she's got, she can control it and she can make it do all kinds of cool things. Okay?
Okay.
Black Bolt, he has the power of a very destructive voice.
Oh, so, yeah, yeah. I remember that in another comic. Mm-hmm. If he, like, whispers, it can, like, be very, very, very bad.
That's right. We did cover an X-Factor annual a long time ago where they were humans.
I was wondering if that was the guy.
That's him. That's him. It means something when they show up because they are interested in what's going on and it just is going to really go sideways now. So, hey, but I got something to tell you, though.
Yeah.
This is going to be the last FF book we're going to cover for about 4 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, bye-bye. we're gonna take a little detour and cover some other books, and then we're going to come back here for, like, FF number 10. So we're going to miss a few issues because there's nobody from Power Pack in them, so...
Wait, just Alex, he's just like, well, I got a cast on now.
Yep.
Goodbye.
Pretty much.
Wow. Poor Alex, but, just always so unincluded.
No, that's okay. We'll if you're interested, you can read those books. If not, you can just catch back up when we come back to FF, okay?
Okay.
Anything else you want to talk about with this book?
Nope.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, Carrie.
You're welcome.
I love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye, FF.
Dark Gun War Extravaganza, Carrie. Yeah!
Shout-out time. We'd like to recognize those listeners who take time to write in or leave us a review, and this is for episode number 130, FF number 2, Doom Nation. Hoover Jeremiah and his podcast 4 Million Years Later.
Linex 7.
Tim Price, the Podcrasher, and his podcast The Outcasters.
Charles Gears.
And Malcontent. If there's anybody else that left us likes or shares, I'm sorry. I didn't catch all of them at the time because I was out of the country. That's my excuse and I'm going with it. But I would like to thank those people that give us a little bit of money to keep doing this show. And that's over on our Patreon. And you're always welcome to donate some money to us to keep us sending these out and keep us drinking our beers. And that includes adorably astonishing and amazing Andrew Burns.
Cheerfully cheeky and charming Char Logan.
Challenging cheesy and chuckling Charles Gears.
Destructive and devastatingly delightful Damian Witter.
Dynamically dangerous and devious Doug Jones.
Intelligent, interesting, and innovative Isaac Perry.
Jesting, joking, and jovial Jeff Polier.
Just jealous and jeweled Jeremy Daw.
Muscly, mighty, and meticulous Matthew Birdsey.
Mythical and magnificent monologuing Matthew Laserwitz.
Steely, salty, and steamy Sailor Bear Zodar.
Sad and sickeningly silly Shag Matthews.
Tyrannically terrifying and tame Tim Price.
Way, way wordy and wobbly Waffles.
Weird and wonderfully wacky Wind.
Next issue, we are going to cover Amazing Spider-Man number 666.
Also, check out the Longbox Crusade Network. Sometimes I do monthly Monday movie muckabout, but I have not put out an episode for a while. Haven't anybody that wanted to watch a movie with me?
It's because you chew popcorn so loud. You also don't share it. You only have Twizzlers.
Meh.
And we have some merchandise available on Redbubble. Go to redbubble.com and search for Unpacking the Power of Power Pack.
Jeff and Rick Present is a bi-weekly self-produced podcast recorded in front of a live studio audience in Portland, Oregon, of one Cedarin's pine-scented beard balm in my hand. If you would like to interact with us through the magic of the internet, you can do so through Twitter at Jeff and Rick Present, our Facebook page, Jeff and Rick Present, our email address, Jeff and Rick Present, all one word at gmail.com, or at our website, jeffandrickpresent.wordpress.com. Also, we have a YouTube channel at Jeff and Rick Present.
And if you'd like to help support our show, we are on Patreon. You can find us at patreon.com, Jeff and Rick Present, all one word. We're also a proud supporter of the Hero Initiative, and we'll be donating 10% of our Patreon donations to this great cause. We encourage everyone to give what they can to this worthwhile organization that helps the creators who provide us with such great content. Go to heroinitiative.org to find out more.
Please rate and review us wherever you can, tell your friends about us, or share your love for us on social media.
And as always, we want to thank the powerful people in our packs.
My wife Cindy and our daughter Carrie.
My fiance Hillary and our daughter Aurora.
We love you.
Until next time,
costumes off.
Our theme music is 80s Action by Kevin MacLeod. Also featured in this episode is Action Sequence by Tim Culley. All music is found at incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 4.0 license.
The whole thing I'll just say is, prior to going on this trip, our daughter was at outdoor school. And so there was always a fear in the back of our minds. Man, if she catches something in outdoor school, this is going to be bad. Well, she comes back from outdoor school and she's sniffling. And my wife and I look at each other and I'm like, don't worry, it's just allergies. And I kept saying that through the entire trip. And even my daughter, there were a couple times that she didn't look great. And she's, and we looked at each other, she goes, it's just allergies. It's just allergies.
Yeah.
And it is a big old Kirby energy. And it is a big old Kirby energy crackling crater.
But it's not the Reed Richards. It's just a Reed Richards.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Hold on. I kind of flubbed on that because I was holding a burp. And he admits that he's made a terrible mistake.
Like a Bluth. Anyways.
I think we're actually covering Doom Nation number 2 next. It's what it says on the script coming up.
Oh, no, that's wrong. It's actually this. I'll change it.
Well, you've lied to me and make me seem like a fibber.
Yeah, well, good don't job, worry. Rick. I'll edit that. Don't worry. It's all good.